This is Virgil Porter. That was Mustang Creek. Sorry I had to fade you out. We have former United States Senator Mark Begich on the line. He is in the running for the governor of the state of Alaska, also former mayor of Anchorage. Just as a heads up, these are follow-up interviews. The station has spoken with even Mr. Walker before he pulled out. Mr. Dunleavy and Mr. Begich. And these are follow-ups as we get closer to Election Day, November the 7th. Mike Dunleavy will be on the air tomorrow, 10 a.m. Same bat time, but tomorrow. Moving on, welcome to KSDP, 830 on your AM dial, Mr. Begich.
How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. Welcome to the Aleutians East Borough, and we are here to follow up. One of my main questions was, you've obviously done many years of public service in the state of Alaska, and what is your familiarity with Southwest Alaska from the Alaska Peninsula, the Shumagin Islands, even all the way out to Unalaska? What's your familiarity with this region?
Well, I've been out several times, not necessarily this election, but, you know, I've been out Dutch Harbor, Cold Bay, I've been down, you know, latest was, even though it's not Aleutians, Kodiak Island, you know, throughout Western Alaska, down through the chain, you know, clearly understand, and I talk to a lot of the folks on a regular basis, try to connect up with many of the, especially the Alaska Native communities that are spread throughout and listening to the concerns they have and issues over the years. And so, you know, being born and raised in Alaska, you learn a lot, you know, in your lifetime about Alaska, not just where I live today, which is Anchorage, but when I was a U.S. Senator, I traveled enormously throughout the state.
Moving on, the main economy that we have out here is fisheries. We operate at the borough level, at the city level, on a raw fish tax. Number one, what would be your approach in the commercial fisheries? Because there is a little bit of you know, a power play going on between sports and commercial interests in the road system. And eventually, you know, long term, or even any results that might come of that, those two user groups might affect us as well.
Yeah, it's a balance of how you approach it. First off, you know, commercial fishing overall is an enormous economic driver for our state. And as you know, out in your region, it has an impact in a positive way. If you have, you know, jobs created with it, as long as the season is good, that's always the challenge. But, you know, some of the challenges I think we really have with fisheries is stuff that's not in our control. And what I mean by that is acidification of waters, warming of waters, climate change, and all this is starting to impact our ability to manage our fisheries in the right way, because no one really has good science around this. I've seen some work down at the UAS, University of Southeast, focused on this. They don't have enough resources to do what I think they could, because we need to get a handle on this. And then we also have to constantly work with our industry and the state to make sure that the balance is appropriate, meaning when are fisheries open, when are they closed, how do we coordinate with our federal partners, because fish know no boundaries. They go wherever they need to go, and they go through state and federal waters. So it's a complicated industry, but yet very important to Alaska. I think it's now the second largest industry. I think tourism is number one, fisheries two, and then oil and gas third. So it's a very important part of our equation here.
So now in allocative, well, I guess before we even get on to that, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is essentially the research arm. Now, in funding and trying to learn more about, you know, the things that are out of our control, or at least gain a grasp of knowledge of them, how would the state be able to fund increased research and increased knowledge about these ecosystems that our commercial fisheries exist in?
Well, there's a couple things we need to be able to do. Well, first off, you're right. There's not enough resource there. My opponent has cut that department left and right over the last several years while he was in the legislature before he quit. And, you know, I think there needs to be, it's an industry. You know, we would not go to the oil and gas industry and say, oh, we're not going to fund the research and the information, the people you need over there. We do it because it's part of our industry growth here in Alaska. Fisheries needs to be treated the exact same way, and that is making sure they have the research dollars. It's a simple question of prioritization. Are we going to prioritize this as a resource that we recognize as an economic driver? The answer should be yes. We need to make sure the resource there. Second to this, which is a big problem, we're losing a lot of people in that industry on the state side, biologists, scientists, because they're tired and fed up because of the slashing and burning of the budgets. They just don't see their future. We need to reinstate some of these great biologists, meaning that we need to make sure they see a stable funding source and job possibility. And then third, we need to grow our own to work in this arena. There's some great people on the ground that I think have a lot of experience to make sure we do the right management of our fisheries. Compared to the rest of the country, we are one of the best managed fisheries. Can we improve? Absolutely. And we should continue to be not only the best in the country, but the best in the world.
Now, your opponent in this governor's race, Mr. Dunleavy, has suggested a raw fish tax at the state level. I know that these are, you know, sharp words to hear, especially in a community that's already hit twice on your landings for local in the borough. What do you think about that, or what would be your funding scheme for helping this industry do some research?
Well, here's a couple examples. First off, he was wrong to do that. That was basically penalizing an industry. You know, on one hand, he's given breaks to big other corporations, but on this industry, he decides to put, I think it was 11 or 12% tax, which meant, really, it made it harder for our fishermen around the state. So that was a dumb idea, but also the lack of understanding of the industry. You know, it would have been nice if he would have shown up at the Kodiak fish debate, because then we could have had these discussions, but he didn't, and so it's just not a good thing for him. But here's an idea on funding. You know, research is about continual levels every single year, not just haphazard and hoping that you get money. The way you do that, like a lot of universities do, they set up endowments so the resource is there, but the earnings pay for the annual research. And here's an example. For every dollar that the price of oil goes up, it's worth $50 to $70 million to the state of Alaska, which is huge. And right now the budget's based on $63 a barrel. Let's say you went to 67, 68, something like that, as a standard budget level. Well, right now oil's at 78. There's $10 variance there. If you could just take one of those dollars and turn it into a $50 million endowment, then you have the money set aside. Earnings off of it would be a couple million a year, which would can and should go to research. That's the kind of creative thinking we have to have. Instead of just find the money one year, spend it, and hope we get money next year, we have to have a more stable research dollar investment. And that's what I would want to focus on, how you do these so they last beyond the politics of the day, and we're focused on a longer-term approach here.
Moving on. Thank you. Oh, as a follow-up, I had noted, did you actually end up just still going to Kodiak for the fisheries debate that was canceled?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy that he didn't show. First time the whole debate's been canceled in its history. And I said, you know, I had a plane ticket. I'm running a pretty frugal campaign. I don't have a millionaire brother dumping a bunch of money. And so I said, well, I'm already planned, so I'm going. And we put together a town hall meeting. And we had about 65, 70 people show up. It was really, again, life is about showing up, you know, a big chunk of life. And if you don't show up, how are you going to know what's going on? And I decided to get there and have a conversation, and I had a full agenda that day.
I just wanted to follow up on that. I'd saw that as a note, and it had come across the wire, and I just hadn't seen that they had ended the debate this year. Moving on.
Yeah.
The LNG pipeline, Alaska's entry into another energy infrastructure piece, good, bad. What are your feelings on this? Would you move forward on it with the same momentum? I know some of the funding sources that were pitched during your Senate administration have come back and are now, I think, the only ones on the table, essentially China. And what are your feelings about the infrastructure, about the funding sources and how this project looks. Is it part of your plan for the future of Alaska?
You bet. Governor Walker has taken this, what I like to say, is to the 10-yard line of the opponent, and that's a pretty good place to be. So furthest has been in decades. I think the governor has done exceptional work on this, and he gets a lot of credit for bringing it down this far. My view is you got to get it over the goal line. But we also have to increase our customer base, meaning it shouldn't be just China. We should look at South Korea, Japan, and others, because the competition of customers will give us the best price that we can get for the end product. I'll use my business experience. You know, I've been in business since the age of 14, and I will use that to figure out how we can maximize the value here. But at the end of the day, we do need to see if this, you know, get this project moving forward and get it over the goal line. At the same time we do that, we need to also ensure that Alaskans are part of the equation, both the workforce and the end product that comes down, meaning that some of that gas needs to end up in Alaska for us to be able to utilize for our benefit.
Well, during the path that it would
travel. Can I say one? I'm sorry, I was going to say one more thing, too. At the end of the day, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But one other thing I would say on this project, that it's critical at the end of the day that we also have to have a private, you know, some sort of private company partner, because the state of Alaska is not going to be in the business of running a, you know, a pipeline. That's not our business. Our business is, you know, providing police, you know, fire, you know, basic road maintenance, street maintenance, all those things. But that's what we should be focused on.
Well, the route that it would travel, it would be able to supply local communities along the way with LNG, correct?
Well, unless they don't have takeoff points. That's the critical thing. That's not been decided yet. You need to have, as you build that line, you have to have infrastructure put into place. Why I know this, because when I was a young man, I worked for a mayor in Anchorage, and we built the water, Aklutna water line from Aklutna Lake down to Anchorage, and we made sure there were takeoff points so Eagle River and Chugach, in other words, they were very small communities back then, could tap into it if they grew. And, of course, they grew. Now they could tap into it. So that's what we want to make sure, that they call them takeoff points, are available for people to access and has to be part of the design and construction.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Learned something a little bit about that. Moving on.
There we go.
I wanted to say thank you, Mark Begich. I'd like to part with any last words. How do they get in touch with you? How do they learn about your campaign? Please, here's your opportunity for the plug.
You bet. Well, again, it's Begich.com, and I want to remind people that you know, you'll see four names on the ballot. Governor Walker is no longer a candidate, so you know, be careful. If you put your vote on him, you're just throwing it away. He's not a candidate anymore, so be careful on that. But Begich.com, this is an important election. Every vote counts, and it's time that we move beyond this partisan bickering politics and get on with what we can do about building a state, working together. It doesn't matter what party you're from or where you live, what you make, and we should sit down, figure out these great problems and challenges we have in this state, and move this state forward. I was born and raised here, and I think it's an exciting opportunity ahead, but we got to be serious about it.
Well, thank you for your time, Mr. Begich, and we will let you continue on your day, and we'll go back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Former Senator Mark Begich in the running for the governor of the state of Alaska. Tomorrow morning, Mike Dunleavy also running for the governor. He'll be on air here at KSDP, Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting, 10 a.m.